MedStar Washington Hospital Center presents Medical Intel, the inside story of advances in healthcare that can make a difference for you and your family. Here's Melanie Cole.
Congestive heart failure affects more than 5 million Americans. Your cardiologist can help you manage the condition with lifestyle changes and medications, leading to a longer, fuller life. My guest today is Dr. Samer Najjar. He's the medical director of the Advanced Heart Failure Program at MedStar Heart and Vascular Institute at MedStar Washington Hospital Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Najjar. What is congestive heart failure?
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for taking the time to discuss heart failure, which is a very important disease that's probably not talked about as much in public as we talk about some of the other cardiovascular diseases. The American Heart Association has done a really excellent job of educating the public about things like heart attacks and strokes, because for those diseases, when you have symptoms, you have to go to the hospital very early because there are things that can be done, and the longer you wait, the more injury can happen. Heart failure tends to be a little bit different in that it is also very common. In fact, there's, as you mentioned in the beginning, there's more than 7 million people in this country, or about 2.5% of the population, that has heart failure. And in fact, when you go to people over the age of 65, the numbers get even higher. And so approximately 5% of people over the age of 65 and 10% of people over the age of 75 have heart failure. So it's a very prevalent disease. I call it now an epidemic of heart failure. It's all around us. A lot of people have it. Some people know about it, but others don't. So this is a very important epidemiologic project that we need to educate the public and people start to know about what heart failure is and what can be done about it. And heart failure, the difficult thing about it, it doesn't have one way that it presents itself. People have different feelings or symptoms that can tell them or can tell their doctors or healthcare providers that they have heart failure. Usually people think about it when they see swelling in the legs. So when the legs get swollen, everybody thinks, aha, my body is retaining fluid, therefore I'm congested, therefore I have congestive heart failure. But not everybody presents themselves based on swelling in the legs. Some people, we pick it up because they're getting more and more short of breath. For many people, they realize that they can do less and less. So, the amount of walking they can do before they have to stop just gradually and progressively gets worse and worse. Some people lose their appetite. Some people get abdominal pain. So there are myriad of or multiple different types of symptoms that people can have, which makes it a little bit harder to distinguish who has heart failure and who does not. And to make things even more complex, heart failure is not one disease. So when people present with heart failure, it's often heart failure is sort of the last manifestation of a whole different thing, a whole different set of things that could have happened, all of which end up with heart failure. And just for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to break it down into two different types. There is one type, which we called heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, and then there's another one, which is heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. What that means is, in the first type, when you do an ultrasound of the heart, when you look at the heart squeeze is normal. So the heart is squeezing normally, but in spite of the fact that it's squeezing normally, it is having difficulty getting blood to the rest of the body. And that's something that we in the medical field have struggled with for a while, because it's not immediately obvious to us, why would you be in heart failure if your heart is pumping strongly? This is to be distinguished from the other type of heart failure where the heart muscle is weak. So the heart is trying to pump, but the muscle is weak. And there, it's much more intuitive. Well, if the muscle is weak, it's having a hard time pumping blood forward. Therefore, the blood will back up. It will back up into the lungs, which is what makes us short of breath. And then it backs us to the rest of the body, and that's how we start retaining fluid.
Dr. Najjar, who is at risk for heart failure? Are there certain risk factors that predispose somebody to this?
Yes, there are. There are well-known and well-described risk factors for heart failure. So anything that can cause injury to the heart puts people at risk for having heart failure. So people who have high blood pressure that is uncontrolled, people who have heart attacks, so people who have blockages in vessels of the heart, and then the risk factors for that, so the people who are smokers, people who have high cholesterol, all these people are predisposed to having heart attacks. And when a heart attack happens, what happens with a heart attack is there's a blockage in the vessels of the heart, and therefore that part of the muscle of the heart doesn't get blood flow and it dies, and that leads to a weak heart. And so this is a big risk factor, which is all the risk factors that we think about classically and traditionally from a heart perspective. Also, high blood pressure alone is a risk factor. But then there's about maybe 30 or 40% of patients who develop heart failure who don't have any known risk factors, and we don't know why they develop heart failure. So there are definite risk factors that can predispose people to having heart failure, but then again, some people don't have any risk factors and it just happens. And in some people, it's actually, in a minority, it's actually genetic. So in some families, heart failure runs in the families and then has a genetic predisposition and they're set up for having it. But it's important to emphasize that there are known risk factors, which is why these risk factors have to be addressed during the lifetime of a person. So high blood pressure should be treated. High cholesterol should be addressed. Anybody who has diabetes or high blood sugar, that also should be addressed. Smoking. People should be advised against smoking. And there's also lifestyle things that are very important. Exercise. Exercise is a huge risk factor modifier. And our population needs to do much more physical activity and exercise than what is common, what is being done now. As well as obesity. So all these sort of go together. They go hand in hand in terms of creating risk factors for heart attacks, and as a result, they might lead to heart failure. Now, in the one case that I mentioned about the people who have the heart failure where the heart squeeze is normal, there the risk factor tends to be older age, particularly older women who have high blood pressure, and African-American older women are particularly at high risk for having that type of heart failure. And the difference between these two types of heart failure is the following. In the heart failure where we have a weak heart, we actually have developed quite a bit of therapies for that. So the first thing to be done when somebody develops this and when we identify it is we have to put the patient or the person on medications. And there are a lot of medications that have been studied, and there are several medications that have been shown without any doubt that they actually improve survival, so people live longer, and it makes people feel better. So it is very important with anybody with heart failure that they are seen by their doctors and followed by their healthcare providers, because these medications have to be put on these medications, and the doses of these medications have to be adjusted until we get the right dose. So there's a medication component to it. There's also, for some people, there are devices such as pacemakers and defibrillators. Some people would need these devices because these devices can also help save their life, and in some people also make them feel better. And that's what the healthcare team brings to the patient, but also there are things the patient themselves that they will need to do. For example, once somebody has heart failure, and we call it congestive heart failure because the person is retaining fluid, so we have to counteract that. So salt is a big culprit. Salt in the body helps the body retain fluid. So people who have heart failure, they need to avoid salt because that will help them prevent them, that will help their body prevent the accumulation of fluid. And the other thing is, since they're at risk for retaining this fluid, they have to monitor how much fluid they take in. So oftentimes we talk with patients about limiting how much water they drink or how much fluid they drink so as not to have it be retained in the body. So salt is an important part of it. How much fluid is taken is an important part of it. Exercise is absolutely critical, as we mentioned before. And in some people, we even tell them that they have to weigh themselves on a regular basis, because once the body starts retaining fluid, the first thing they will see, even before they have symptoms, is oftentimes the weight starts going up, and that's the time when we can actually intervene and do something about the weight.
Are the medications that you put them on, is this now a lifetime thing? Do they have to be on these for the rest of their lives?
Pretty much so. In some people, a minority of people, sometimes the heart can improve and they can come out of the heart failure. And in those people, after they've been on the medications for a while, we may be able to get them off. But for the majority of people, when they go on these medications, they will be on these medications for their lifetime, yeah.
So do you consider, Dr. Najjar, congestive heart failure now to be a chronic disease as opposed to something that happens that's acute, like a myocardial infarction?
Absolutely. The heart failure is sort of the prototypical disease, along with diabetes and hypertension, as being chronic conditions. This is not just a condition of, well, something happens, you end up in the hospital, we treat it, you go home, and it's over with. Not at all. A heart failure is something a person is going to live with for the rest of their life. And they may or may not end up in the hospital for a short period of time, but what is more important is during the days when they're at home, or the weeks and months and years when they're at home living with this, what are the lifestyle changes that they have to do for this? Because this does not go away. This is a chronic condition that is staying with them. And so the lifestyle changes we talked about, the medications are important, and then the checkups and the follow-ups with their healthcare team is important. In fact, now when somebody gets hospitalized, when they leave the hospital, we now call it not a discharge from the hospital, but a transition of care, because the hospitalization is just one small episode where things get adjusted, but they have to be carried forward after the person leaves the hospital. So heart failure is definitely the prototypical or the ambassador of what we call now chronic diseases.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Najjar, and give us your best advice about people that may be at risk for congestive heart failure, the lifestyle modifications, what you would like them to know.
So what people have to know is that anybody who has any risk factor for heart diseases in general, they can't just ignore them. They have to act on them, because even though these things, they don't hurt, they don't land you in the hospital. If your blood pressure is a little high, if your cholesterol is a little high, you don't feel it. You don't know that you're having a problem. You don't want to wait until you have a problem, be it a heart attack or heart failure. You have to be able to modify those risk factors in middle age, in young age, as soon as you find out that they happen. Because when you already develop a disease, it's already one step. You've already lost the opportunity to prevent it. Once you do have the disease, once you do have symptoms that are such, you know, either your legs are swelling, you're getting more short of breath, or you feel more tired than what you were before, it is important to talk to your doctor or healthcare provider so they can look into it and find out whether or not you have heart failure. Because if you do have heart failure, there are things that they can treat you with, which will, number one, make you feel better, and number two, get you living longer.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Najjar. It's such important and great information. You're listening to Medical Intel with MedStar Washington Hospital Center. For more information, you can go to MedStarWashington.org. That's MedStarWashington.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.